From the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. The U.S. Senate on Thursday blocked quick consideration of a waiver that would have allowed foreign-flagged cruise ships to visit Alaska ports this summer. Federal law requires Alaska-bound foreign-flagged cruise ships to stop in Canada. With Canada's ports closed to cruise ships through next February due to COVID-19 concerns, the 19th Century Passenger Vessel Services Act effectively prevents Alaska's cruise season from going forward. Alaska Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski asked the Senate Thursday to fast-track a short-term waiver of the law for voyages between Washington and Alaska. She said hope for a 2021 season was fading.
Back home right now, people are not talking about the season for 2021 coming up. The motto is get through to 22. That's an awful way to be approaching our situation. And so they have asked for help. They realize that anything that we can do to try to salvage even a few weeks of tourist season is going to be important to us.
She offered an amendment to the waiver bill, dubbed the Alaska Tourism Recovery Act, that would require cruise lines to carry defibrillators, provide passengers with a Bill of Rights, and ask regulators to draw up new rules for cruise lines to return human remains when a passenger dies at sea. She said the amendment had been negotiated with two Democratic colleagues, but the waiver stalled after Utah Republican Senator Mike Lee objected to the amendment, calling it, quote, a poison pill. Nevertheless, Alaska Republican Senator Dan Sullivan, who co-sponsored the waiver, said he's optimistic about the bill's future. The CDC on Wednesday told cruise lines that it remains committed to resuming passenger operations by midsummer. Earlier this month, a local activist submitted paperwork to start a ballot question campaign to limit cruise ship traffic in Juneau. 3 days later, other locals started an opposition group called Protect Juneau's Future.
The message that the group has right now is very simple. Don't sign the petitions.
That's Craig Dahl, the executive director of the Greater Juneau Chamber of Commerce, shortly after the ballot questions were formally proposed. Before the pandemic, the cruise industry pumped millions of dollars into Juneau's economy each season and into city coffers through passenger fees and sales taxes. At a chamber meeting today, Dahl called the cruise ship industry the third leg of Juneau's economic stool. He says a lot of relief programs have kept Juneau's economy and city government financially afloat during the pandemic.
But the fact of the matter is, if this is to completely go away or the majority of it go away, there's not much to help us make up that difference.
One ballot question would ban ships over a certain size beginning in 2026. It would have the biggest impact of the three. Laura Martinson with the group says it would ban Princess's entire fleet. If all three proposed changes were applied to the 2022 cruise ship calendar, Martinson says it's conservative to estimate 3/4 of all cruise ship passengers would be blocked. Martinson owns the gift shop Caribou Crossing on South Franklin Street. She says limiting cruise ship passenger numbers that much would take Juneau back to passenger levels of the mid-1990s. She says the growth since then has opened up a lot of opportunities for new businesses that locals enjoy that are only sustainable with the high volume of cruise ship passengers. The city clerk's office has until the close of business Monday to approve or reject the ballot initiatives to move on to the signature gathering stage. If approved, the organizers will have to collect signatures from about 3,000 qualified voters for each question over 30 days to get them on the municipal ballot for the election in October. Alaska lawmakers have agreed to retroactively extend the state's COVID-19 disaster emergency declaration as part of an effort to maintain state eligibility for food assistance benefits and other federal aid dollars. The Anchorage Daily News reports the measure that would extend the declaration through 2021 was passed by the Senate and House on Wednesday and was to be sent to Governor Mike Dunleavy. There's no guarantee a disaster declaration will remain in effect for the rest of the year. Under the bill, Dunleavy could declare a disaster emergency no longer exists. However, the bill would also allow State Health Commissioner Adam Crum to declare a limited public health emergency for such things as vaccine distribution and to support eligibility for federal aid dollars. A bill that would require state recognition of Alaska's 229 federally recognized tribes has passed out of two House committees. Supporters say the measure is needed to encourage better collaboration between the state and tribes, to formally acknowledge Alaska tribes' sovereignty and contributions, and to potentially allow them access to more resources. The National Conference of State Legislatures says having both federal and state recognition can foster government-to-government relationships and, in some cases, qualify tribes for federal and state support. Indian Country Today reports House Bill 123 is awaiting a possible vote on the House floor. Legislature is expected to adjourn May 19th. A new study from Alaska Native Tribal Health Center shows cancer rates among Alaska Native people have gone up over the last half century. Researchers say the data points to opportunities for prevention. Claire Strempel reports for KTOO.
The most common cancers among Alaska Native people are breast, colorectal, and lung cancer. With screenings like mammograms and colonoscopies, they can be detected and treated early. Yet, cancer remains the leading cause of death for Alaska Native people, and it has been for decades.
This is outrageous. You know, why are we not at war with this thing? Why are we not doing more?
Eric Fox lost his mother to cancer in 2017. Within months, he was serving on the state's advisory board to the American Cancer Society. He says you'd be hard-pressed to talk to anyone in the Alaska Native community that hasn't lost someone close to them to cancer.
It's happening every day. You know, one-fifth of our deaths in the Alaska Native community are attributed to cancer.
Fox's mother died after a long battle with colorectal cancer. Data collected by the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium showed that Alaska Native people have the highest rates of colorectal cancer in the world. That rate of that cancer has been constant over the last half century, while the incidence among U.S. white people has gone down. It's a growing disparity.
And this disparity has persisted for the entire time that we've had a cancer registry.
Sarah Nash is the Cancer Surveillance Director at the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium. She and her team collect cancer information in a tumor registry for all Indigenous people living in the state of Alaska.
These data provide a baseline from which we can then go away and ask other questions. And we can use this for the base of public health programming and research.
Screening for cancer is one element of prevention. Lifestyle choices like healthy diet, exercise, and quitting smoking can significantly reduce the risks. But she says cancer is a tough problem to solve. Each case has more than one contributing factor.
Every cancer is a different jigsaw puzzle. And so for one person, their jigsaw puzzle may look like smoking and historical trauma and lack of physical activity. And for another person, it might look completely different. It might look like genetics and diet and exposure to some kind of chemical or some kind of workplace exposure.
It's rare to have cancer data that spans 50 years, but the tumor registry at ANTHC does. This year, the data team released a report that compiles that data. Researchers say the findings are crucial to addressing higher rates of certain cancers and health disparities. For example, physicians usually recommend anyone over 50 years old be screened for colorectal cancer. But the registry showed Alaska Native patients tended to get the cancer at a younger age. So ANTHC changed the recommendation to people 40 years and older. Ayu Kasatuk, a breast cancer survivor, says she'd like to see more Alaska-specific protocols like that one.
At the time that I went through cancer as a young woman, younger than so-called normal, there were a number of other Alaska Native women who I was going through treatment with at the same time, who were having the exact same experience. Younger than, you know, the recommended age for annual mammograms and those kinds of things.
Kasatuk found her cancer by chance in her late 30s. She's been cancer-free for a few years, but she's still managing long-term health effects from treatment. She says if cancer messaging had been targeted to her demographic, she would have been more likely to pay attention and perform monthly self-checks. She says Indigenous knowledge could also be incorporated into cancer treatment. Things like plant medicine and ceremony helped heal her whole person. She says it's important to take a holistic approach when talking about health disparities, too.
We need to be able to really look at those things and be able to talk about them and not look at the statistics in isolation from the context that created them. I want to have those conversations about how we talk about health equity and the root causes of the inequities that we experience.
The cancer data highlights a hard reality, but Eric Fox, the advocate working with the American Cancer Society, says it's one that can change with more awareness. And he says medical recommendations are just one part of that solution. The other is changing what he calls a generational mindset of toughing things out.
We've got to make it okay in our community to have these conversations, to bring awareness, and ask the people that we love and care about to go and get these screenings.
Colonoscopies and mammograms can be a delicate subject, but he wants to eliminate those taboos. A little bit of discomfort can save a life. For KTOO, I'm Claire Strimple.
Juneau and Douglas residents started reporting internet outages around 1 p.m. today. About an hour later, Alaska Communications posted on its Twitter account saying it was experiencing phone, internet, and data outages, and it was a top priority to restore service as quickly as possible. Around the same time, Snowcloud Services, a local internet provider, announced a statewide outage was causing disruption in its service. Several GCI customers reported still having a connection. The phone line issue also affected the Juneau Police Department. For a short time, 911 service was down. City officials later said 911 was operational again, but that JPD phone lines were still down. A sinkhole has appeared in a downtown Juneau street, but city officials say it's unlikely to develop into anything that would swallow vehicles or buildings. Katie Kester is the head of the city's Engineering and Public Works Department.
There's a hole in the pavement about the size of a small salad plate, but the sinkhole underneath is a little bit larger.
She says the sinkhole at the intersection of 3rd and North Franklin Streets probably goes down about 9 feet. It probably occurred when an underground culvert corroded and collapsed, but Kester says they won't know for sure until they dig up the area sometime next week. For now, the sinkhole is covered with temporary pavement patches and blocked off with cones and barriers. Kester says there are no major restrictions to pedestrian or vehicle traffic in the area. But Capital Transit has suspended bus service from the downtown library and along North Franklin to Front and 4th Streets until the sinkhole is fixed. Downtown bus passengers should catch the bus at the Downtown Transit Center. And finally, the Forest Service is reopening some of its facilities at the Mendenhall Glacier Visitor Center for the first time since the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic. Starting May 1st, the welcome kiosk and bathrooms will be open to the public. Forest Service staff will be at the welcome kiosk to answer questions and interact with guests. And that is it for the KTOO News Update for Thursday, April 29th, 2021. I'm Jeremy Shea. Thanks for listening.